Even though it's a little bit dark and dreary, raining outside, I hope we know and we recognize what a great blessing it is to be here. We're so thankful that God has allowed us this opportunity to gather together in His presence with one another, and we want to make sure now our visitors feel welcome. We're grateful that you're here. You're an encouragement to us, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. And also, again, let's be mindful of our sick, our shut-in. We've got some traveling, and you know, they want to be here. And we want to make sure that we pray for them, that they get to come back our next assembly. And then in that, we are even more thankful that we are afforded the opportunity to be here this morning. Now, before I begin the lesson, since Matt brought it up, it reminded me to bring it up about Lads to Leaders and the PowerPoints. And I had a question earlier this morning also. So if you've got your PowerPoint done, put it on a zip drive or a flash drive, and let me have access to that so I can go over it. Or if you need help, let me know. We can meet a little early Sunday before evening worship. We can kind of go over it. That way we can get that done, because you need to do two for Lads to Leaders. And maybe the second one we can do a little bit quicker. But anyways, we need to start getting those, because there's eight. I did eight outlines for kids for the PowerPoints. And if all eight kids need to do two, that's 16. And, you know, that's 4 months. And so we need to start getting those in so that we can have those for Sunday evening so they can get credit for those. So please keep that in mind. Now, let me say this as we begin here our lesson. You know, we had a very interesting week, to say the least, right, this past week. A lot of important things occurred, and, you know, those things are important. They're absolutely important, but I want you to think, to understand that it is not the most important. As important as the events that occurred last week are in our lives, it is not the most important. What we do right here, right now, in the presence of God as His people, that's the most important. And so let's be mindful of that in our theme for the year, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. We're talking about being steadfast, movable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work of the Lord is not done in vain. Steadfast, movable, abounding. So let's refocus on that message here this morning. And I want us to think about, you know, what does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean to abound in the Spirit? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? You know, you hear those phrases and we read about them, and we see that there in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 14, which will, by the way, be our main study text. You know, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? You know, it sounds so religious. It sounds, you know, Bible. It is religious. It is Bible. But what does it mean? I think if I asked 20 people, you know, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit, I'm probably going to get back 20 different answers. What does it mean? So we're going to be thinking about that this morning, and we're going to ask that all-important question, you know, how can I become more spiritual? And I want us to investigate, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? And again, there's a lot of confusion in that, to be led by the Spirit, but, you know, but how? We know the Bible says it, but how? And so we're going to look at three main points this morning. And we're going to see that, number one, to be led by the Spirit, it's a mindset of not my will be done, but thine. And then we're going to see, number two, we need to think as God thinks, more and more so, and then walk as Jesus walked. But before we get to that, we need to kind of set the stage here and get us thinking in the right direction and start answering and asking some questions, right? And again, what does it mean to be spiritual by definition? You know, what are the nuts and bolts? And again, if you ask 20 people, I think you're going to get back 20 different answers. And I believe that most Christians would admit that it's difficult really to define fully what it means to be spiritual. And it's much more technical definition, like, you know, following the Holy Spirit, or being like Jesus, or being more in the creative image of God. You know, some people say that you can experience what it means to be spiritual. Some people say that you can see it in others. All right, so let's think about that. Let's ask that, and let's answer that. Here in Romans, and stay with me for just a moment. If you were to ask again for someone to give you a practical understanding of the concept, well, what does it mean, practically speaking, and how does it apply to them? And again, you're going to get many different answers. Right? Many would agree that it's much more complicated than they expected once they start opening the Bible and looking at all the different passages. And I think most of us would probably have a hard time putting our finger on it. What does it mean to be spiritual? Right? So we need to stop and ask, what does a spiritual person look like? And, if you were to picture in your mind's eye, what does a spiritual person look like? What would you see? Or rather, who would you see? Maybe you'd have an image of somebody from the church, by their position, what they do in the church, maybe, by their actions, right? Maybe a spiritual person in your mind, that's that individual that attends worship service all the time, right? Anytime the doors are open, they're there. Anytime there's a fellowship event, they're there. That's a spiritual person. And maybe that's what your mind's eye is coming up with. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that that's actions of a spiritual person, but is that the definition of a spiritual person? Right? They're the ones present every time the doors are open, and those are good things. Now other people respond to that question, what's a spiritual person look like? They answer it in a little bit different way. Right? Some people think about being spiritual as an emotion. Right, all that worship service was very spiritual to me, and what they really mean is it connected to them on an emotional level. And so I'm thinking about our main study text here. They're saying that you can experience what it means to be spiritual, and some they're talking about how worship service was to them. And to a degree, I understand all of those answers, by the way. But yet, then it comes back to the external. Actually, real quick here, just bear with me. Back in Matthew chapter 6. For example, if you were, were a Jew in the first century, right? And you asked me, what does a spiritual person look like? Well, what do you think the answer I'd give you as an example? Well, I'd probably say it's one of the scribes of the Pharisees, right? Right? They were the spiritual people of Israel, right? They were praying out in the open. They're fasting, letting everybody know. Oh, they're giving, right? Giving up, they did that in the open. Well, look how spiritual I am, right? They had strong emotions. You know what? They even wore Bible verses on their clothing. That's what phylacteries were. But were they spiritual? Right? Would you say these are spiritual people? They look like it. And again, it has to be more than just external actions, right, that make a person spiritual. Right? You can do a lot of spiritual things also, and have very little spiritual living. How do we know this? Jump over, if you would now, if you do have your Bible, open to Matthew 15. As we know, it doesn't take much time reading your New Testament, right, about the scribes and the Pharisees. If you were to, at least by this point in Matthew, if you were to say, were the scribes and Pharisees spiritual, the answer would be no, right? And can you see the difference, right? Verses 8 and 9, we probably all know it well. These religious people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Right? You see, they got all the outside markings of what it, being spiritual, looks like. But as we read, you continue to read here, we get a chance through Jesus to see in their hearts, and we learn that that is not what spirituality is. Right? So there's got to be more, and we need to remember in this lesson, not all people who profess God possess God. Not all people who profess Christ possess Christ. So what is it? What does it mean to be spiritual, to be led by the Spirit? Right? You can do a lot of spiritual thinking and very little spiritual living is what we're reminded of here. And one more thing here before getting to our main text in Romans chapter 8. Right, so start answering this question. We need to start where God starts. That's the best place to start, isn't it? Start where God starts. Listen, by nature, if you're a child of God, by definition, you're spiritual, right? Romans 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So biblically speaking, when we become a Christian, I'm over here in Ephesians 1 and verse 13 real quick. When we become a Christian, we're saved from our sins. We take upon us a spiritual nature, right? Ephesians 1 and verse 13, in him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So if you believed in Jesus, if you confessed him as the Christ, and you're willing to repent of your sins and be immersed in water for the removal of your sins, right, Romans 6, 3 and 4, and you rise to walk in newness of life, you are by nature, by biblical definition, a spiritual person. That journey's beginning, right? And this is through the power of the Holy Spirit, who also raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And you're now a new creature, a creation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, you're something new now, Paul writes there. Right? You crucified self, Galatians 2, 20, you're something new. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? Ephesians 1, 13, Acts 2, and verse 38, you're something new. So in Romans 8, you know, what does it mean to be living by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to abound in the Spirit? Let's answer that in the remaining time that we have this morning here. So I want you to see, number one, going with the Spirit or abounding in the Spirit means it's an attitude of not my will be done, but thine, right? So number one, it's submission. To be led by the Spirit, number one, understand this. If you don't remember anything else about this lesson, it's about submission. We are called to submission. Back up and read just a little bit. Here's our scripture reading earlier. Let's read it again. Verse 12, Romans chapter 8, therefore, brethren, right? He's talking to Christians in the book of Romans, right? He's clarifying things to Christians. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Number one, submission. Remember that. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, submission, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Submission. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, submission, these are the sons of God. It's all about submission. First step for me, after I become a Christian, well, of course, it takes submission to obey the gospel, but that submission doesn't stop, right? But if I'm going to, after becoming a Christian, if I'm going to be led by the Spirit, I have to continuously come to that mindset, that humility of not my will be done, but God's. And this is what God is trying to work out of us. And I think I've used this illustration before, but let's use it again, right? All of us have painted before, especially when you use the roller, right? You dip it in a little pan and you're painting. And if you're cheap like me, when you're done painting, you're going to save that roller to paint again, aren't you? Right? Especially nowadays, those things are, you know, 10, 15 bucks probably. And so you bring it to the sink or something like that, and you turn the water on, and you start to wring it out, and you keep wringing it out. And it takes so long, you start to look for maybe a hose connected to the paint bucket because it won't stop. But you keep wringing it out, and it takes a long time. But after a while, you get it all out. Right, so think about it like that. God is working that worldliness out of me, right? And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight, but I have to allow him to have continuous access to my life, not my will be done, but his. I'm allowing him to wring it out. It's about submission. But that's how I abound in the Spirit, right? And I got to understand it's part of that maturation process that never ends till I die or the Lord returns, whatever happens first. The idea is, if we're being led by the Spirit, then we submit to the will of the Lord. Galatians, the fifth chapter, if you would. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to read this with me here. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Now, I see no difference biblically when I read the will of Christ, the will of God, the will of Spirit. They're interchangeable. It's all one God. Right, they're all one God, so when we submit to the Spirit, we're submitting to the Father and the Son. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, right? You cannot live by the Spirit or keep in step with the Spirit or abound in the Spirit unless you submit to the Spirit. Unless you submit to God, you submit to Christ, right? Because I cannot submit to somebody that I don't allow to have authority over me, right? Think of the military. Who's in charge here? Well, it's the one with the highest rank, right? And you submit to that authority. If I'm going to be led by the Spirit, I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit, then I have to decide, what will I submit? What will I allow myself to submit under that authority? Now, I think this is the hardest part in all of this, by the way. It's hard to submit. We don't like it. And so therefore we struggle with it. And therefore we don't abound in the faith. And then it doesn't take much to steal us away from the faith, because we want to do what we want to do. It is truly not my will be done, but thine, as we submit to the Spirit, become more sensitive to his working, leading, and teaching. All right, one more thought here before we move on to our second main point. I want you to go to 1 John, if you would. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Listen, the work that we are to do is confirmed by the Word of God. So then we know what spirit that we are following. Now here's the hard part, and I bring this up just because simply it's a couple of conversations, two completely different groups of people over the last couple weeks. And I'm going to remain kind of vague, but I'm sure you can kind of figure out most of it. So talking to an individual, and they're telling me why they go to church at a particular church, why they go there. And their main reason was, he said, let me tell you, they've got the best bluegrass band you have ever heard in your life. And another one, talking about the same place, says, I was led by the Spirit to go there, and let me tell you, I know it was the right decision, because let me tell you, they've got the best bluegrass band you've ever heard. Two different people, two complete different conversations. They never do, I talk to the other, but one thing, they were led by the Spirit there. Because they love bluegrass so much, now they can worship in a way that makes them feel good about themselves. They love the entertainment. And it's enticing to do what we want to do. So be careful when you're answering that question, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? There's deceiving spirits out there. You see, the Spirit of God is never going to lead you to a place separate apart or contrary to what the Word of God tells you. And we need to be wise. Right, and this is where we all struggle, right, to truly live a life saying, Lord, I'm going to be led by your Spirit. I'm going to keep in step with your Spirit. Remember John here, that we need to test the spirits, make sure it is from God and not of this world. Right, because there are spirits of this world that lead you to think that what you're doing is the right thing, but it's not. And you're going to fool yourself that it is the right thing because you like it. And it makes you feel good about you. And it's exciting and it's pleasing to the flesh. The true Spirit's never going to take you anywhere other than where the Bible already has led. It will always be confirmed by God's Word. And so I understand here, submission, it's difficult because it requires us to let go of self. You know, and talk about worship, it requires me to say, this isn't about me. Worship, coming before God, especially during the week, this is the one place it is absolutely not about you. It's about coming before a holy God in reverence and awe. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Why? Well, because verse 29, our God's a consuming fire. Right? And so I come to that point, it's about you, God, and it's not about me. And that's that maturation process where I give more and more of that up to him. Otherwise, it's going to be the opposite of that, right? It's become hard-hearted, stubborn, stiff-necked, and this is God's own definition. All right, number two this morning, to abound in the Spirit means to think as God thinks. To be spiritual, to be led by the Spirit means to think as God thinks. Read it with me, Romans 8, chapter verses 5 and 6 now. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be led by the Spirit means we have to start thinking more like God. You know, when I set my mind on what the Spirit desires, I think differently. All right, and this is where we really start to see our spiritual growth. This is where we really start to see that spiritual maturity. Right? You know, we all have our own unique way of thinking. Right? It depends on, how we were raised. You know, our family environment, the culture around us. You know, all of these things, you know, our own wisdom and understanding. Right? All of these things come together to paint how we see the world. Right? The lenses we look through to see the world. Right? And that's going to determine how we respond to everything we come into contact with. But if I'm going to be a spiritual person, I got to start thinking the way that God thinks. Right? That's why Paul over here in chapter 12 of Romans, right? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Right? I need to start thinking the way that God thinks. If you want to stay here in Romans, for an example, stay there in chapter 12, right? Now, he's going to talk about enemies in chapter 12, actually. There's a good example. You got an enemy. Your enemy's doing something to hurt you. Now, Sean, right? When Sean has an enemy, what does Sean want to do? Right? But he said, no. To think like God wants to think. He actually says there in Romans 12, he says, you know what? If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. See, that's God's thinking. Now you're thinking, well, that doesn't make sense. But if you would have read chapter 5 and verse 8, I believe, while we were still enemies of Christ, Christ died for us. Right? So we need to be thankful that God thinks like that. And then he says this transformation, you need to start thinking the way that God thinks. That's how you're led by the Spirit. Right? It's not some ambiguous kind of thing that you can't define, where it becomes a warm, mushy feeling, or somehow you think you're being led by the Spirit because you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. No, there's very practical things that we can look at. Not my will, but God's will. And start thinking like God thinks. And changing the way that I interact with this world. I'm going to start doing it more like God wants me to do it. Right? When I set my mind on what the Spirit desires of me, I'm going to start to think differently. Real quick, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to note this. And I like the way that Paul puts it here. And we're not going to read it all, verses 6 through 16. And so God has revealed his wisdom to us by his Spirit, we're told, through the written word. Paul says that he did not teach words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. And he ends the section by saying, but we have the mind of Christ. So the question is, do you believe that? Or are you thinking higher thoughts like Christ? Are you thinking higher thoughts there? Are you setting your mind on things above, not things of this earth? Colossians 3:12. You know, are you abounding in the Spirit on this spiritual journey? Right? And, you know, it's going to, and if you want to, it's going to require a change of thinking. Right? And I know human wisdom, human understanding, personal gratification, or as the Bible calls it, our sinful nature. I've got to give those things up more and more and more. As I submit to the will of God, Ephesians the fifth chapter, read this with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. I want you to read this with me. I do have it on the screen here. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, for it leads to dissipation. Now, here's the human mindset. I'm going to do whatever feels good. Right? That's our carnal desire. That's my fleshly nature, my human mindset. So Paul's using this illustration here of getting drunk. Right? He's saying don't get drunk because that's what that leads to. It's a waste of time. But instead, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. That's where we need to be filled with the Spirit. Right? We need to start thinking like he thinks. One more here before we move on to our last point. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. I'll get my PowerPoint up to date here. And so here he says, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Right? That thought that comes into your head, that sinful thought, that temptation, whatever it is, right? You're gonna, the very first thing you do, he says, is you're gonna take that thought and you're gonna break down those strongholds and you're gonna make that part captive to Christ. And so as we do this, we start to submit to God. We start to think more like God. We're starting to be led by the Spirit. But I'm not going to do that until number one, our first point. I understand it's not my will be done, but God's will. then I can start to think like God thinks. Right? And this is really going to lead us to where we began. It's going to lead us to acting out what is spiritual. And when I ask you to define what it means to be spiritual, or what does a spiritual person look like, you know, again, we tend to go to the exterior. That's all we can do. We don't have a choice, right? Because we can't see the hearts of people. And so we got to go by their actions in order to see that. And I think as humans, that kind of messes us up a little bit, right? We get a little messed up on who is and who is not spiritual, especially in our culture and what culture has defined Christianity as being and what Christians do and don't do, you know, what Christian worship looks like. And so if we're going to be led by the Spirit, it's going to be seen in our actions, and it's going to be seen in our character. All right, let's go on to our third and final point here, right? So when we start to think like God, this journey that I'm on challenges me at the very core of myself, right, to understand it's not my will to be done, but God's, and to think more like God. The number three, to walk as Jesus walked. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 25. I want you to read this with me, Galatians 5, 22 through 25. And so here we're going to read about being led by the Spirit. It's going to mention the fruit of the Spirit. And so let me ask you this. What is the Spirit of God producing in you? What's the Spirit of God producing in you? We learned that the fruit of the Spirit is seen in our character and in our action as we walk in the Spirit here. What is the Spirit of God producing in you? And I've mentioned this before from John, the 15th chapter, first 10 verses, let's say, in that neighborhood. If you're connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, you're allowing the vine dresser, God, to prune you, to clean you through his word, a natural byproduct is going to be you're going to produce fruit. You do not have to beg a tree to produce fruit, right? You don't have to beg a grapevine to produce grapes if it's connected to the vine and the vine dresser is taking care of it. It's just a natural byproduct. What is the Spirit of God producing in you? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we're told what the fruit of the Spirit is, what a natural byproduct of being led by the Spirit is. We're reminded of the opposite there in that whole chapter, actually. And so what's being produced in your life? And so if what's in your life is joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and all of those things, you're being led by the Spirit. But if you read, a lot of the rest of the chapter there, those things that are not the fruits of the Spirit, if you see that in your life, then you're not being led by the Spirit. See, now you can start to identify, you can start to put your finger on what it means to be spiritual, be led by the Spirit. Philippians, the second chapter, running short on time here, let's go ahead and finish up. Philippians, the second chapter, read with me here. Right? And so what we're being taught in all of this in Scripture is he's changing us from the inside out, right? And then a natural byproduct, the fruit of the Spirit, that is seen externally, right? Remember we said, well, when I ask you to picture what a spiritual person looks like, right? You're going to start to see those things. So he's changing us from the inside out. So can these things be seen in our external character? Well, absolutely. Right, as we walk in the Spirit, we walk in love and joy and peace, long-suffering, all of those things. And so that's the beginning of walking like Jesus walked. So do a little bit of reading here. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. See that part right there? It's such a powerful point when we read this, reading about Jesus. Again, Philippians is written to Christians. And the book is about giving us four examples to follow. Right? You get the example of Christ, of course, we're reading about, then Paul's example, Epaphroditus, and then Timothy. And so we're being taught here how reminded how Jesus walked, and then to follow that pattern. Again, in verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. I read 12 to 13, same chapter. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Paul says, look at the example of Jesus. So in that, I want to be united with Christ and to have fellowship with the Spirit. And I do that by walking as Jesus walked and thinking like Jesus thinks, right? And submission was part of his character. And the part we didn't read here, right? Verse 6, he gave up equality. That's submission. Verse 8, he humbled himself. That's submission. Again, in verse 8, he became obedient. That's submission. Christianity is a religion of submission. But the last verse I read there, verse 13, again, says that God is at work in you to will and act according to his purpose. Right? He lived in obedience to do the will of God, and that was seen by others. So now you do the same thing. Walk as Jesus walked. Right, and in case you missed it, also what we looked at in Romans, the 8th chapter, and thinking about this right here, he's going to come back and remind us that God is in you. And because he is in you, he's wanting to work in you to bring about these same qualities and characteristics into your life. Not all who profess Christ possess Christ. And here's our conclusion. Submission. Right? It's about submission. Not my will be done, but thine. It's got to be in there when we obey the gospel, but then in our daily walk with the Lord. Right? It has to be the mindset when you wake up each and every morning, God, how can I glorify you in what you want for my life and what you want me to do, not what I want to do. And then I got to start thinking like God thinks. Right? And that takes work. It takes a long time. The illustration of that paintbrush, right? It takes time. Listen, if I had a mason jar up here right now with the lid and I asked you, how do I get the air out of that? Right, you could put the lid on and maybe get a hose, some kind of vacuum, and try to suck the air out until the jar breaks. Or you could just simply fill up the jar with water and put the lid on. It's kind of like that. Right, and God's working on us, but it takes submission. We're going to change the way we think, and then we're going to start living that out. We're going to start walking like Jesus walked. You know, victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by pushing out a sin here and there, but by being filled with the Spirit of God through the guidance of his holy word. In Isaiah 44 and verse 3, we're told, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams and the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your descendants. Then the promise in Joel 2 and verse 28, I will pour out my flesh of my Spirit on all flesh. It's more than that. Journey of being led by the Spirit begins with your obedience to the gospel. And so we take this time in our worship service to offer this to those who have never obeyed the gospel. Right? You cannot finish the race if you don't begin the race. Right? And so here's an opportunity for you to do that if you've never obeyed the gospel. The Bible says, and I encourage you to look these passages up, that you got to believe who Jesus is, John 8 and verse 24. You'd be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3, Acts 2, 38. You'd be willing to confess Christ before men, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And the Bible says you reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water for the removal of sins, Romans 6, 3 through 5, 1 Peter 3, 21. And then the journey begins, right? We do our best to live faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. So if you haven't done that and you're ready to be obedient, let's take care of that this morning. Maybe you've done that and you didn't allow yourself to be led by the Spirit. You went back to a lifestyle of sin and you're ready to be reconciled to God. We'd love to help you in that journey or in anything. If you just need prayers, you need encouragement, let us show you the love of God and the love of this congregation. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.